Well, before we pray, let me just share a story with you. There was a owner of a small gym who issued this boast and put this out there that he was stronger than anybody else, and that if anybody could prove that they were stronger than him according to his test, then he would give them $1,000. So this was his test. He would squeeze all the lemon juice out of a lemon, and then if anybody could get even one more drop out of that lemon, he would give them $1,000. Well, a lot of people tried it. You know, lots of strong guys came along and tried it. None of them could do it until finally one little scrawny guy came along, and everybody laughed when this scrawny guy said that he wanted to try it. So the owner of the gym, he squeezed the lemon and got all the lemon juice out of it, and here comes the scrawny guy. And everybody stopped laughing, because as he squeezed the lemon, six more drops of lemon juice came out of that lemon. Everybody was amazed, and the owner said, "What in the world? How? What do you do for a living? Are you some kind of lumberjack or construction worker, or are you some kind of power lifter?" And the little guy said, "Well, no, I just work for the IRS." I know, it's bad. That's not real. That's not real, by the way. So we're in a series called Keeping It Real, and that's what we want to do. So let's pray and open our heart to God's Word. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for this time we have in your presence, and we thank you for the precious Word of God. We thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit that speaks to our heart and is able to reveal eternal truth to us. And Lord, we pray with Samuel this morning. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. I pray, Father, that you help me to be an obedient servant and give us all ears to hear, that we might live in all you have for us and bring glory and honor to your name. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Keeping it real. This is a series about real Christianity. It is about being a real follower of Jesus. Now, first and foremost, being a real follower of Jesus is having a real relationship with him. You know, Christianity without that relationship is just a religion. No, a real relationship is when you pray and you talk to God, and not only that, but he speaks to you. Jesus says, "My sheep know my voice." And we need that kind of a real relationship with the Lord. Next, real Christianity is when our lives are transformed. There's real transformation. It's not just to reform you or to help you make your life a little better, but it is an absolute transformation in your life. You know, sometimes I hear people advertising, pushing products, and they say things like, "This changed my life. This changed my life." Listen, I'm not talking about that when we talk about real transformation. I'm telling you, people get hyped up about stuff. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about being a new creation in Christ. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I'm talking about a new life, a totally different life. Real transformation. That's keeping it real. That's what the Bible talks about, and we shouldn't settle for anything less than real transformation. I think a lot of people in our country have gotten this form of religion that lacks any real life-changing power. I want to tell you, it's phony. It's not real. It's a cheap copy of the real thing. 2 Timothy 3:1-5 says, "But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come." Well, we're in perilous times, aren't we? I find myself reading this passage often because it speaks of our generation, the time in which we live. It says, "For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people turn away." I want you to notice that last verse. He says, having a form of godliness but denying its power. You see, there's real power when we follow Jesus. Power to transform your life. Real change. It's about us being changed, and it's about us being a change agent in this world. Because He has made us a new creation in Christ, we are His sons and daughters. He calls us the light of the world. He wants us to make a difference in this world. And here is Jesus keeping it real. Luke 9:23. Here's Jesus keeping it real. See, there were a lot of people that would come out to see Jesus. A lot of people would show up to physically follow Jesus for a little while, but they didn't want to really follow Him. And here's when Jesus keeps it real. He says to them all, "If anyone desires to come after Me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow Me." See, here's the real thing. It's not just doing what we want. Christianity is not just another way to try to get what we want. Here's the real thing. Jesus says that if we're going to come after Him, we got to deny ourselves. It's not about us. It's not about what we want. And then He says, take up your cross daily. He's not talking about wearing a cross around your neck. And He's not talking about dying on a cross, because He tells us to do it daily, that we daily take up the cross. You see, for Jesus, the cross was part of the plan and the purpose of God. And that's what He's talking about when He tells us to deny ourselves and to take up our cross daily. It is to take up the plan and purpose of God in our life each and every day. You need to know that God has a purpose for your life. When we do that, when we take up our cross, the purpose of God, then we're a true follower of Jesus. In Acts 13:36 in the NIV, it says this, "For when David had served God's purpose in his own generation, he fell asleep." David served God's purpose in his generation. David was one of the greatest men of God, one of the greatest leaders of the Bible, one of the central figures in Scripture. And yet we know that David was not perfect. He had faults and flaws, and he made mistakes. But here's what the Bible says about him in the New Testament. He served the purpose of God. That should be said about every Christian, everybody that claims to be a follower of Jesus, that we serve the purpose of God in our generation. We were created for a purpose. I think purpose, real purpose, is something that's missing in a lot of people's lives. They don't know really who they are, what they're doing here, where they're going. I'm telling you, we as the children of God, we should always have purpose. We should have some goals, some plans, some vision for the future, something more than just living out another day, waiting until the day we die. No, every day we need to realize there's meaning, there's purpose in our life. We're not here just by accident. No, we need to believe that God has a plan for every one of us. You see, the world will tell you, well, you're just a bunch, you know, you're by happenstance, just randomly, a bunch of molecules got together, and somehow or another, that's you. Came from nowhere, not here for any reason, and going nowhere. But church, we know better than that. We know that God created us for a purpose. His own special people, that we're a new creation in Christ Jesus, and His hand is on our lives. He has a purpose for us. There's a cross that we're to take up daily. So listen what the Bible says in Psalm 139. David said this. He said, In verse 13, you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Some are more fearful than wonderful, but anyway, your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. You see, he knew you. Your days were ordained before one of them came to be. Somebody might have told you that you were an accident, that you weren't planned. But did you know you were not an accident to God? That he knew about you before you were even formed in the womb, and your days were ordained. He has plans for you. I believe the Lord designed each and every one of us in such a way that there's something missing when we don't have real purpose in our life. There's a dissatisfaction that's there. And yet it seems like so many people settle for that, and they just think that's the way life is. No, we need to know God's purpose in our life. You see, purpose will get you out of bed in the morning. I'm not talking about a dollar. I'm not talking about, well, I got to go to work. I'm talking about something that will drive you, something that will give you energy, something that will give you passion, something more than just making ends meet and another day. No, we all need that kind of purpose. I believe that the Creator designed us in such a way that we'll find real fulfillment when we find real purpose in doing what God created us to do. Ephesians 2:10 says, we are His workmanship. Now just think about this for a minute. You are God's workmanship. Have you ever made anything? God has. He's made a lot of things, but let me tell you what the prize of His creation is. You. You're His workmanship. The Greek word here, it implies that it's talking about a masterpiece. You see, you're very valuable to God. You're special to Him. And you might say, oh no, Pastor, I'm not anybody special, but you are to God. He created you. He goes on, he says, created in Christ Jesus. You see, you're a new creation in Christ. You're something special to God. And He created you for a purpose. Created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. This is amazing that we as God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, we have been created for good works that He's already prepared ahead of time for us to do. He has a plan. There's a purpose for you as His workmanship. You were not an accident. God created you on purpose for a purpose. You know, one of the verses of Scripture that's pretty popular in our day, Jeremiah 29:11 in the NIV, it says it this way, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. A lot of wonderful truths there about how that God has good plans for you. But here's the amazing thing, just right up front, is that the Lord has plans for you. I mean, just that alone is amazing. In the King James, it says, the thoughts I think toward you. Did you know God's been thinking about you? You see, He has a purpose for your life. There's plans for you. We need to know that. We need to be about that. God has a plan for my life. So I think some people think they just don't matter. You know how the enemy deceives them and robs them and keeps them from the purpose of God in their life because they think they don't matter. God created you with a purpose in mind, and you need to know that. Just, you know, you might think, but wait a minute, Pastor, I got all these problems and weaknesses, and I'm telling you that God created you with your personality, your own frailty. He knows your frame. He knows what you're made of. And get this, even with our past, the mistakes we've made and the things that have happened to us. I want you to understand that there are things that we do and things that happen to us that were never part of God's plan. But this is absolutely amazing. The God that we serve is so big that He can take those very things that were never part of His plan, they weren't something He intended, and yet He can use it to mold us and shape us and use us in His purpose. And each one of us has a purpose. You see, sometimes we look at the superstars, we look at the big names like the Apostle Paul. Here's a guy that, you know, we can all see the purpose of God being fulfilled in his life if you read the Bible. And we may not all be superstars, but did you know you're a superstar to the lives you touch? Every one of us, there are people whose lives we're going to make a difference in as we fulfill the purpose of God. And we need to know this, that God is using us. We do make a difference. And our personality and our experiences, the things that we've been through, God uses those things in our life, through our life, in His purpose. You're a one-of-a-kind creation. I think sometimes people become envious of other people and wish they were like them. And we want to say to the potter, we want to say, why have you made me thus, Lord? Why didn't you make me like that person? It's so common in our culture today, wanting to be like somebody else. Do you know God doesn't need two of them? He needs one of you. And you need to know that this morning. Don't let Satan devalue you. You have a purpose. God has a purpose for you, real purpose. I read about a Stradivarius cello. It was 320 years old. It was valued at approximately $3.5 million. There were only 60 that were made, and this one was 320 years old. It was stolen one day, and later it was found left by a trash dumpster. And the lady that saw it just got it and put it in the trunk of her car, and that stayed there for a couple of days. She had this idea that she could get her boyfriend, who was a cabinet maker, to put hinges on it so you could open it up and then put little shelves in it so she could use it as a CD holder. She had no idea what this was until she saw it on the news. And of course, she returned it. But this is an amazing truth. You know, that cello, when the cellist plays it and it is used for the purpose that it was intended, it comes to life. It brings this beautiful music. And you see, in our own lives, too much of the time, we end up being some kind of fancy CD case. That's what the world will make out of you. But that is not at all what the Master intended when He created you. He created you for something much more. And when you fulfill the purpose of God in your life, when your life is being used for what it was intended for, you come to life. And you bring this music, this joy. I'm just telling you, God will use you to bless others. But don't let yourself be used as an old CD case. That's not who you are. That's not what you are. No, you are one of a kind creation that God has designed for His purpose to do good works. Don't settle for less. Too often, people just busy up their lives and they waste so much of their life doing other things, and they allow the purpose of God to just kind of be pushed aside or put on the shelf. God has a purpose. I want you to understand that the Bible is not really that complicated when we understand just a few key things. We know this, that Jesus said what's really important is that you love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and you love your neighbor as yourself. And I want to tell you that those two things give you a real quick clue is the purpose of God in your life. Because first and foremost, the purpose of God for you is that you have a real relationship with Him, that you know Him intimately. And we talked about that in the first message of this series, and I don't want to lose sight of that. Yes, part of the purpose of God for your life, first and foremost, is to love the Lord, to have that intimacy with Him. But then it also is to love your neighbor as yourself. And I'm telling you that the purpose of God in your life will always be about other people. It is never just about me. It is always about how God wants to use us to help others, to minister to others, to reach others. So here it is again in Ephesians 2:10. We're His workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works. Good works. Works kind of gets a dirty name in church culture. But I'm telling you, as a new creation in Christ, we're supposed to be involved in good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. All of us have a part in what God is doing. We're all part of the body of Christ. All of us have a place. All of us have a purpose in the body of Christ. Every born-again believer is a necessary part of the body of Christ. We need to know that. Every one of us fits in this body somewhere. In every one of us, there are things that we are supposed to do, a purpose, works, good works that have been ordained for us. And when we find that purpose of God, when we do the things that God wants us to do, we find joy and fulfillment in those things. Don't waste your time with things that are unimportant. Don't let life just pass you by, not really knowing that you have fulfilled the purpose of God in your life. The Lord Jesus, on the night He was betrayed, as He was praying, He prayed this in John 17:4. He says to the Father, He says, "I have glorified You on earth. I have finished the work which You have given Me to do." You know what? We want to all be able to say that when this life is past, that I finished the work that You gave me to do. You see, we can only say that when we fulfill the purpose of God, finish the work He gave us to do. But first of all, we got to be convinced that God has a purpose for our life. There's a lifelong purpose for us, but there's also purpose for us in each and every day. None of them should be wasted. But the good works that He talks about, I want you to understand that those are things that matter in eternity. Those are things that really make a difference, not just in the here and now, but things that will even impact eternity. That's the good works. See, God's not interested in the trivial and the mundane. He is interested in changing lives. He is interested in gathering for Himself a people for all eternity. So yes, it may be you talking to somebody about the Lord. That's purpose. It may be you praying for others. That's certainly purpose. And serving others, being involved in some ministry at the church, or helping with a small group, teaching children to serve the Lord. It's certainly giving and helping to further the kingdom, using your talents for the kingdom. Thousands of ways you see that purpose can be lived out in our lives. But we need to realize that our lives are supposed to make a difference in eternity. So how do we find real purpose? Not everybody has a road to Damascus experience like the Apostle Paul. Wouldn't it be nice if all of a sudden there's a great light and you heard a voice from heaven telling you exactly what to do? But most of us, it didn't happen that way. So how do you find purpose? First of all, this is really simple, but do the will of God that you know. Right now, today. And we might say that Surely God has some bigger purpose for me. You know, a lot of the time people miss the purpose of God because they think it's off out there in the future somewhere. And they miss the purpose of God today in their life. You might not even know. You might be clueless and have no idea what God has for your future. But if you'll do the simple things today and pursue His purpose in your life today, that's the best way to get there. Because Jesus says it very plainly in the parable of the talents, those who are faithful in little will be trusted with much. It's every day pursuing God's purpose, doing what you know to do in the purpose and the plan of God. Second, how do you find real purpose? Ask God. You know, we read in the book of James that if anybody lacks wisdom, he should ask of God, and God will give to him liberally. He doesn't hold back, but let him ask in faith. I'm telling you, God wants you in His plan. He wants you to fulfill your purpose. So certainly, we can ask, we can pray, and believe God to speak to our heart and expect Him to do so. We just have to be willing to do what He says. But yes, pray and ask the Lord. Now, you know, most of the time, God is not going to tell you everything. You know why? Because we'd find a way to mess it up. Sometimes He speaks of the future, like when He gave Joseph a dream about his future. But even though He gave him a dream, Joseph didn't understand it all until it happened, and neither will you. No, most of the time when we pray and we ask God for direction, we ask Him for purpose, He gives us the right now. What should I do today? And so, yes, pray and ask. But don't expect God to tell you everything. He'll tell you what you need to know. Third, how do you find real purpose? You know, most of the time when God speaks to us, He speaks to us through His Word. So if you want purpose in your life, you go to the Word of God. Psalm 119 and verse 130 says, "The entrance of your word gives light." It will show you. It will reveal to you. The psalmist also said, "Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." You see, it will light your path. Now guess what? Again, it's not necessarily going to show you what's 5 miles down the road. It's going to show you right now what you need. But the Word of God is able to speak to your heart and give you purpose in life. And it also will bring faith. Because so often when God gives us purpose, it's beyond what we can do our own selves. It is something that God is going to accomplish in us. It's going to take faith. And the Word of God will bring faith to your heart so you can fulfill that purpose of God. Fourth, how do you find real purpose? You pursue God's purpose in your life. I'm telling you, if you don't really care about it, well, don't worry about it. You won't find it. But if you really want God's purpose in your life, you'll pursue it with a passion. Listen to what the Apostle Paul said in Philippians chapter 3. I'm going to read 12 through 14. He says, "Not that I've already attained or I'm already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold of me." And purpose is so implied here. Jesus took hold of you for a reason. And He says, "I want to take hold of that for which Jesus took hold of me. I want that purpose. I want to fulfill that purpose." He says, "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forward to the things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." You see, there's a call of God. There is a purpose in your life. And He says, "I press toward. I'm reaching forward." And that's what it takes. We got to have that kind of passion for the purpose of God. Otherwise, too often, we end up being distracted by the mundane things of life. We get distracted, in fact, a lot of the time by good things. We get distracted sometimes by things that, well, they seem urgent at the moment. But I'm telling you that none of those things are worth giving up the purpose of God in your life. So we got to have passion, pursue the purpose of God. Paul was so consumed with his purpose. Acts 20 through verse 24, he says this, "I consider my life worth nothing to me if only I may finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace." He says, my purpose, this task that God has given me, is more important to me than my life. And I just want you to know, Jesus promises us abundant life. Let me tell you where that abundant life is found. It's in serving God with all that you are. You don't find it with a lukewarm, casual Christian experience. No, it is when we are passionate about the Lord, passionate about pursuing His purpose in our life. How do you find real purpose? Fifth, you got to remember that God's purpose is always going to be about people. If you're going to find real purpose, you got to look beyond yourself, because His purpose, that real purpose, is always going to be about other people. You see, real purpose isn't found just because you make a lot of money. It's been proven over and over again. But maybe God wants you to make a lot of money so you can help other people and you can help further the kingdom of God. There's purpose in that. J.L. Kraft, you know, Kraft Cheese. For years, he gave 25% of his profits to the Lord's work. And he said his purpose was not to build his business as much as it was to build the kingdom of God. He was all about the cause of Christ, not the cause of cheese. It's amazing how people get silly about their life and what their life's purpose is. I'm telling you, real purpose was always going to be about other people. See, maybe part of your real purpose is to raise godly children. Don't ever let that be belittled to you. What a high calling. What an amazing purpose. You don't have to go very far. If you're a parent, you don't have to go very far to find purpose, because here's a great purpose in life, is to raise your children to go out and fulfill the purpose of God in their life. And if you're a grandparent, maybe part of your purpose, maybe your real purpose is not to spoil your grandkids after all. Maybe your real purpose is to teach your grandchildren what it is to be a real follower of Christ. But I'm just telling you that real purpose, it's around us. It's available to us. And it always involves other people. It's always about other people. You see, maybe real purpose for you is teaching children at church in a class about the Lord. Maybe real purpose is for you to be one of those who leads others into the presence of God as we worship. Maybe real purpose for you is helping with a small group in some way. There's a thousand different ways that you can find real purpose in your life. And I just want you to understand that they all have to do with other people, because that's what the Lord cares about. When you look at the great men and women of God in the Bible, you'll see that their purpose always involved people. I mentioned Joseph earlier. You know, God had a purpose for Joseph. Brothers sold him into slavery. He went through so much. Later he told his brothers, "You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good, to the saving of many lives." You see, God raised Joseph up into a place of authority so that he could save many lives. Nehemiah, we've been talking about Nehemiah in our Growing Leaders series on Wednesday night. And Nehemiah This great leader, he led the people of God to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. Not just, it wasn't about the walls, it was about restoring the people. Moses led God's people out of the bondage of Egypt. It was about the people. Joshua led the people into the promised land to drive out the enemies and possess the land. It was about God's people. I'm just telling you that God's purpose in your life will always be about people. That's what it was for the Apostle Paul. It was all about taking the gospel to the Gentiles. If you want to find real purpose in your life, you'll find it in Him. And it's going to be about other people. Wherever you go, you see, in the mundane of life, it can become something special when you find purpose there, real purpose. You see, God can use you when you go to the bank one day and you think you're there to make a deposit, but God's got another purpose for you being there to talk to somebody that needs help. I'm just telling you, we need to be expecting, looking, believing God for real purpose in our everyday life, being used by Him. Sometimes we just, you know, we tend to make things too complicated. And I just want you to understand that we are His servants. And when we are His servants and we want to be used by Him, we want to be like David. We want to say we served His purpose in our generation. I tell you, He is a sovereign God, and He is able to fulfill His purpose in our life. Proverbs 19 and 21 says, "Many are the plans in a man's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails." And that's what we want. We just want God's purpose to prevail in our own life. He's a sovereign God, and ultimately His purpose will be done. But it's up to us to decide that we're going to fulfill His purpose in our lives. Isaiah 46 and 10 says this, "I make known the end from the beginning, from ancient times, what is still to come. I say my purpose will stand, and I will do all that I please. From the east I summon a bird of prey, from a far off land a man to fulfill my purpose. What I have said, that will I bring about. What I have planned, that will I do." I'm telling you that God is a sovereign God, and ultimately He will fulfill His plan and purpose. And He is able to bring somebody from far away to fulfill His purpose. But it's up to us whether we're going to be somebody that He uses to fulfill His purpose. I want to encourage you, make up your mind that you're going to be real. That you're going to find real purpose in your life each and every day and fulfill the purpose of God in your life. I want you to stand with me. We're going to pray. As we pray, I'd like for prayer partners to come. Father, I thank You, Lord, for the life You've called us to. Lord, an exciting life, an abundant life, a life of purpose. And I pray, Father, that every person in this room this morning will know that You have purpose for them. Lord, I pray that they'll know that they are special, they are important to You, and Father, that You want to use them. And I pray, Father, that every heart be turned to You, Lord, that not one would turn away and do their own thing, but Lord, we all will say with our Lord, "Not my will, but Your will." Have Your way in us today, Lord. Fulfill Your purpose in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. As we dismiss this morning, I want to encourage you, if God's dealing with your heart, come for prayer. I know there's some of you this morning, you're one of those that you just said, "You know what? I'm not important. I don't really make a difference. I don't really matter." That's a lie. It's a deception from the enemy. And I hope that this morning you will find purpose in God. I believe there's a seed of the Word of God planted in your heart this morning. Let somebody pray with you. Let somebody pray with you and believe God with you that you're going to get on that path to fulfilling God's purpose. Some of you here this morning, you've allowed busy things, just the mundane of life, to drown out the purpose of God. I encourage you to come for prayer. Let somebody pray with you. Some of you just need to make that heart choice that you're willing, that you want God's purpose in your life. But however God may be dealing with you, or if you've come with a prayer request this morning, you're welcome to come. I'm going to dismiss the congregation with a blessing. And as we dismiss, if you want prayer, you come. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.